From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. It is Wednesday. I kind of forget the day of the week. It is Wednesday. Check rebelgrove.com for football coverage from yesterday, Matt Luke video, also some written notes and different things on the site at rebelgrove.com. Also yesterday on the site, Neil added more context and information to the Leo Lewis request that was denied by Greg Christopher and the Committee on Infractions. So we'll get into that a little bit today. We'll see where else we go. I don't know. It feels kind of like a Friday podcast, even though it's a Wednesday, even though there's some news surrounding things. So could be a pretty entertaining next hour or so with you this morning.
It depends on how much of the leash you take off of me. How much – I'm like the dog today that is out front, and I'm on one of those leashes that has the little button that you push to let
– Yeah, the retractable leash.
Yeah, I'm on a retractable leash. And if this
– If I slip the button up.
If this podcast ends up not being entertaining, it's Parham's fault because he kept the button pushed and I'm like right up against his leg and I can't get loose. If the podcast goes the way that it usually ends up going, it's because he got distracted on his phone and he hit the button and I got into the neighbor's yard.
You're that stupid damn pug in my neighborhood that always tries to bite my ankles and has actually drawn blood before because yeah. What happens is the woman hooks his leash under, like, the swing set thing. And when I come through the first time, the pug thinks he is the dog off the Sandlot, or what they envisioned to be the dog off the Sandlot. What was that dog's name?
I can't remember, but I know what you're talking about.
And, I mean, he is just jumping against the end of this thing, and the swing set's kind of pulling a little. And I see it, I'm like, God, in 2 miles, that's going to really suck, because I know what's coming.
Yep.
And then, sure enough, by about mile three, the swing set kind of comes up, the leash comes out from under it, and the pug is on the attack. I've got the woman running behind me going, please don't kick it, and the dog is hanging on to the back of my calf by that point. And it happens about once every 4 or 5 months, and then she leaves it out there.
See, at least you know it's coming. The worst, one of the reasons I run on treadmills more than I run outside, is I'll be running outside in the neighborhood, and I'm listening to my music. It might be Eminem, it might be Taylor Swift, there's no telling. And I'm kind of off in my own thoughts, thinking about things in my life.
I know
life.
Where you're going, yeah.
And I'm just running. I'm having a Forrest Gump moment. I'm just running. And I'm not
barely paying attention.
I'm not paying attention. I mean, I would like notice a car maybe, but I'm thinking. I'm at that point in a run where I've got a little runner's high kicked in. My stride's gotten faster. I'm no longer hurting. The soreness has worked out. I'm just running. I'm thinking about my day. I don't know about you, but I'll write things in my head. And I'm writing in my head, thinking about stuff. And next thing you know, right there on you.
It scares the ever-living crap out of you.
And your heart rate goes from about 150... is kind of my comfortable running heart rate.
So about 725.
To about 8,406.
Yeah, nothing will startle you more than the dog up on your ankle all of a sudden.
And it ruins your run. You never, ever, from that moment on in the run. In fact, now when it happens to me, I go, that's it, I'm walking home.
Yeah, well, in the county, you know, there's not a leash law. So when I run out of my neighborhood over to another neighborhood, there's this house that has like 7 dogs. And it's the route I like the most. I like going through this neighborhood or whatever, but I know when I go through and come back, I'm going to encounter these 7 dogs. They're not going to bite me. I'm not scared of them, but they're going to get up on my ankles. They're going to follow me. They're going to break my stride.
Right.
So I've got to the point where I just go a different direction because it's not worth it anymore, yeah. Even though they're coming around. But
people will say, well, how do you run on a treadmill? Well, I would prefer to run outside, but I can control environment on a treadmill. I'll tell you this, last night Carson had soccer at 5:30. We went, he hit 2 buckets of balls, actually 3 buckets of balls. Then we did a little throwing thing that we do. And then he went to soccer about 5:15. And so I ran. hottest day of the summer.
It was very humid because I ran about 3 hours before that because I was talking to you as I was starting.
Yeah, I told you were insane.
You did. You basically warned me I was going to have a heat stroke yesterday. So
that was brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal. It was so humid. Anyway.
So, now that you've been...
Welcome into the show.
Yeah, now that you've been Dick Rice today and discussed dogs and leashes and whatnot. The Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Go get a daiquiri, 6 different flavors for you to pick. Again, I'm pretty partial to the hurricane and the peach, but whatever you like, it is there waiting on you. The small is around $3, 20 ounces. You can get 32 ounce. You can get a 44 ounce if you'd like to, if you really want to feel big about the day there at the Oxford Exxon. The Oxford Crystal, you get the hand-spun milkshakes, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, or Oreo there. Also got maybe a virgin daiquiri kind of variety. The Kool-Aid slushes are made with Sprite. You get grape or green apple is your flavor out of those. So check them out, Highway 6 West. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900, clarkfordinc.com. Call the number, ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. It's just a great deal. Then it's up to you. Get your quote. If you want to call 400 car dealers all over the country and see if you can find one that's cheaper than Corey, that is your right. It is. People fought for that right. You have it. Use it.
It's true.
But if you actually value your time, I mean, I value your rights. So we've learned that this week. Everyone's got a right to do stuff. But if you value your time, just take the deal. You're going to get a great vehicle. It's great service after the sale. It's a great price point. And then on top of that, at the end of the deal, wait till the end, because Corey's a businessman. Wait till the end and say, hey, Corey, oh, by the way, man, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast, Oxford Exxon podcast, Beer Garden podcast. Even if he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're full of it, he's going to give you $500 off because that's the arrangement. And Corey's a man of his word. So there you go. ClarkFordInc.com, 662-257-1900.
Yahoo or Verizon or whoever is really confusing me this morning because a couple days ago, got a good bit of Twitter play. Pat Forty had put out his list of the 25 most intriguing quarterbacks in the country.
Intriguing.
Yeah, see, it wasn't the best. I actually give Pat credit here. There was not a lot of reading comprehension there. So there's a lot of why did this guy not make it? Why did this guy not make it? And he never said these are the best 25. He simply said some dudes with some crap going on, and that's the people he was most interested in throughout the year. It's fair.
Well, and when you do that, you create more opening for yourself to kind of do the list the way you want it to.
Oh, you give yourself complete ability to just do whatever it is you need to do.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah, it's fine. No worries. However, on number 19 was Jacob Eason, quarterback at Georgia, dang good prospect. The best NFL prospect in the 2016 class. However, Pat started his paragraph on Jacob Eason at number 19 with he was the number one quarterback in the signing class of 2016. Shea Patterson was in that class. Shea Patterson was ranked number one by Rivals, which Yahoo owns, Scout, and 24/7. All three different services had Patterson ahead of Eason, so that didn't make a lot of sense in a variety of ways, but whatever. So I tweeted that out. This morning, we have a story on our site at rebelgrove.com. Mike Farrell linked it to our message board that Ole Miss has the highest-ranked quarterback signee in history. 2 days later, with Shea Patterson. He's the highest-ranked quarterback to ever come through the Rivals system.
Huh.
So, a lot of sideways information going through our family of companies.
Well, let's get real here. Pat Forty does not like to acknowledge Rivals. And Rivals and Yahoo, I don't know what the relationship is, but I mean, it is the married couple that...
They're staying together for the kids.
They've never slept in the same bed in years.
It's like the disgruntled couple from the 1950 sitcom. You already had the separate twin beds, and now they're...
And they put the beds in other rooms, on different floors. They don't like each other, and as soon as the kids are gone, they're out.
It's better for tax and income purposes right now, essentially.
Yeah.
For the couple.
Yeah.
But what rankings was he using?
I don't know.
Or just not any. Just goes, ah, hell. number one. Recruiting expert, number one.
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't think Pat likes
Robinson. I'm giving you a leash here, and you see, you're staying retracted now.
Well, I have discovered in my career that going off on Pat Forty is not never serves me well.
I wasn't going off on him. We just complimented him.
I did. Shea Patterson is absolutely one of the 25 most intriguing quarterbacks.
I wouldn't even argue in that.
Because we're walking into a crazy amount of hype for a kid who is 1-2 as a starter. Now, I'm not blaming Shea, but he is 1-2 as a starter. And he's now on his, fourth offensive coordinator in a week or something like that. I mean, I'm being hyperbolic today. There's a recipe for failure here, and there's a recipe that he's the guy that leads an offense with nothing to lose into a season, and that somewhere down the line, Ole Miss pulls off the big upset that shakes up the SEC. And if Ole Miss does that, it'll be because Shea Patterson had a huge day. It won't be because the defense stood up. Because if you weren't concerned yesterday when you heard Matt Luke say that they got 5.5 yards per handoff, if I'm an Ole Miss fan and I hear that number, I burp a little bit inside my own throat and think, oh, God. Uh-oh.
No blitzing, though.
Yeah.
Vanilla.
Yeah.
It's keeping it real.
Yeah.
A little housekeeping here. Our boy Russell moving to Oxford today. He's leaving Akron, Ohio sometime this afternoon. He's headed to Bowling Green, Kentucky tonight for the night, the scenic area of Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Yeah.
And then making his way tomorrow. He's going to cover Tupelo on Friday night for his first Mississippi high school football game. So added our next person in town, and he'll be here soon. We mentioned this at the end of the other podcast, put it a little earlier here. We're going to be in Jackson at the Westin Hotel downtown August 31st. That's the Thursday night prior to the season opener against South Alabama. We're going to do a live show, going to kind of do a cocktail meet and greet sort of thing. 6:30 to 8 is the time we're kind of thinking for this. So come out, hang out with us. Neil will tell you some stories, some war stories, get his picture made with you, give some autographs, might even have some... Yeah. Some things to hand out to you there, so appreciate that. Appreciate the guys at the Westin. Obviously, appreciate Credit Oil for helping put this together. And as of this morning, Cathead Vodka is going to help us out as well. They're going to have some specialty cocktails and drinks for you also. So come hang out with us at the Westin again, two nights prior to the season opener, Thursday, August 31st, 6:30 to 8, somewhere in there. So, all right. We'll go here. Got a couple different things. Neil wants the leash taken off. Ole Miss scheduled a game for 2021. We'll talk about that here in a little bit as well. But first, a little more on Leo Lewis's request. This was on the message board yesterday. So if you are a subscriber, you might have already seen this. If you're not a subscriber, this is the kind of thing this week that you would have found out a whole lot sooner and in more detail and had the ability to discuss it with us on the message board at rebelgrove.com. So subscribe if you would like. Use the Amazon link, all that good stuff. But in his request to appear in Covington, Neil, Leo Lewis, the attorney, expressed concern that Lewis's appearance could be used against him in the civil litigation involving Rebel Rags. Neil, Lewis's attorney also asserts that his client was vilified on social media in different places, said that he asserts in the letter to Greg Christopher that the attendance and participation in Covington would cause those threats to continue and increase. Come take this line by line.
Okay.
Just logically looking at that with the lawyer's assertion.
Okay.
Doesn't this at least have to be addressed? If you're telling the truth, why is it a problem?
Sure. Absolutely.
Could be used against him in civil litigation. And now look.
Now, can I ask a question real quick? Yeah. Brief timeout? Because sure. I'm curious on this. And this is a question that I guarantee you, of our 50,000 listeners right now, 49,000 are asking this question out loud, so I'll go ahead and ask it.
Okay.
His testimony in front of the COI, will it ever be released? Will it ever be public record?
Don't know.
Okay.
I mean,
I guess what I'm saying, Chase, is for a – this isn't picking on Leo or anybody here. This is a technical question.
Yeah, no, I understand.
For it to be used in civil court, you would have to have it. You would have to have access to it. How would the attorneys get access to whatever Leo said in a COI hearing in a civil court? And if they do, will we be able to get that also? Because I got to tell you, I want that. I'm a big proponent of sunshine on this deal, however it goes. Anyway, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt your train of thought.
No, that's a good point.
I was just curious. I didn't know whether that would ever be public record.
I'm kind of searching some different things to see. So okay. We'll see.
Okay.
But no, that's just my thought process was, in look, if you're an attorney, you should guard against everything even being a possibility. So
sure.
I understand the claim no matter what.
Sure, but
to the layman, to the person just reading it, they go, well, hold on.
Yeah.
Why is it a problem if you're telling the truth?
Yeah. That's a legitimate question. And again, I'm not criticizing the attorney here. He's doing his job.
I found something from a Ball State case. I was just trying to see what it said anywhere.
Okay. They cheat like mad, man. Ball State. I mean, they are renegade.
Like in here, it's the appeal for Ball State from whenever this happened. And they mention in the appeal the transcript of the Committee on Infractions thing, but they never, it's not put in as a supplement. Now, look, there also are, 40 people in this room?
Yeah, people going to talk.
I mean, and at some point, some of these people aren't going to be bound by confidentiality, so you put them on the stand and go, hey, what did Leo say in the room?
Not everybody's walking out of there alive, if you will.
Yeah, somebody's going to talk.
I do have a problem with the closed door part.
Oh, it's terrible.
I have a real problem with it. It should be wide open.
Come.
You tell people if you have an outburst, we're gone. We're
going
to hire some security and you're gone. You will be removed from the premises.
No warnings.
Nope. Here is your one warning. We ain't playing games. We're having a hearing here. This will be a dignified procedure, et cetera, et cetera. You pop out, you pop up, you'll pop out.
Yeah.
The end. But why not? Or at least open it to media, where media can cover it.
This really doesn't matter. What's your take on the internet, Twitter threat area? Hasn't that kind of just gone both ways and is what it is?
It is what it is.
Public figures are going to get criticized on the internet.
I mean, I've been...
You, me, Leo Lewis.
I've been threatened on the internet.
Yeah.
After Tunsil Question Gate, I got threatened.
Did you?
Yeah. Had several people tell me, I see you out in Oxford, I'm going to break your jaw. I'm going to kick your ass, I see you out in Oxford. It's amazing.
You still have a jaw?
Still have a jaw. Still have an ass that remains unkicked. A lot of talk on the internet. A lot of keyboard tough guys. Lots. Lots and lots of keyboard tough guys. Now, my first day back in Oxford after Tunsil Question Gate, had a guy kind of bow up on me at Bure.
He bowed up on you?
A little bit.
Why'd you do this? Why'd you do that?
A little bit.
Did you give a response?
I told him I didn't want to talk about all this right now, but I was here. At a social event, but this wasn't the place.
It's fair. Fair.
Finally, had to say to him, if you just really want to go outside, I guess we can go out there and have a conversation. Have a feeling he could see in my eyes that anger,
you weren't in the mood.
Anger was beginning to spark.
All right, so the next form of this, maybe the more interesting part, frankly. The attorney offered alternatives to going to Covington.
He did.
He offered to grant the investigators a fourth interview with the UM representative present, provided certain parameters be agreed to beforehand. Lord knows what those would or what it would not have been.
No hard questions.
The attorney also offered to have his client appear via video.
Yeah,
we knew requested that. The COI panel give Lewis a specific time to appear via video in order to minimize disruptions.
So now you see where the COI gave Leo one concession. They said, we need you there. We can't tell you precisely what time, but we'll get you in and out in the first day and a half.
Still not a very firm timetable at all, though.
No, but it's you don't have to. You won't be there for 3 days. We'll get you home sometime Tuesday at the latest.
Why do
day
you
and a half back? I mean, you what time state practice? The afternoons because they're in classes.
Sure.
I mean, he'll be back for Tuesday's practice.
Potentially not even missing a practice.
What day do they take off?
Because if you're off on Monday,
Ole Miss
then you're
takes
not even...
Monday off. Does state take Sunday or Monday off?
I don't know.
I mean, you could change the schedule that week and take Monday off. He wouldn't miss a practice.
Just playing a little devil's advocate. What's the negative to just having him Skype in? You're still talking to him. Still has to answer the questions in front of you.
I think you want to be able to look someone in the eye. You want to read their body language. You can FaceTime and stuff.
Yeah.
But if you want to have a real conversation with someone, do you want to do it on FaceTime or you want to do it face-to-face if those are the two options?
Yeah, you get a lot more out of the face-to-face.
Yeah, there's interaction there. There's just better prevent the option of just conveniently the feed getting lost. Oops!
Power outage.
No idea what happened. Lost our signal. You know how it happens. You're driving down the road, you're talking to somebody, and then they're gone. Just jumped up. Something happened with a tower here. Starkville. You know how it is. We're working to get it back. It's going to take just 5 minutes. What happens in those 5 minutes?
That's true, too.
You eliminate that. In person. He's got counsel. And he's in. And before everybody goes, he shouldn't have counsel. I've heard that. No, he should. Everybody's entitled to counsel. Yeah. He should be entitled to counsel as well. So he's got an attorney sitting there who can say, hey, Leo, hang tight. Come here. We've got to do the little whisper thing.
Got a legal pad where you write a few sentences on it in front of you.
Yeah, but that allows them to see that.
Yeah.
Hey, he had to be coached a little. That's okay. Again, he's up there, and I mean, his eligibility is on the line. He deserves counsel. Who's paying for his counsel? You're losing track.
Forest trees.
Forest and trees. He deserves counsel. He is entitled counsel. He has counsel. And if he's there, counsel will be with him, and that's okay. Counsel will be with Hugh Freeze. Counsel will be with Barney Farrar. Counsel will be with Ross Bjork, etc. Everyone has attorneys. Leo deserves one as well.
Saunders even has one, even though he's not even putting up a fight.
Yeah. Chris Kiffin has an attorney. Maurice Harris has an attorney. Derek Nix has an attorney. It stands to reason that Leo Lewis would have an attorney. And the reason I'm saying that is because, yes, I have gotten those emails. He shouldn't have counsel. Yes, he should. So if something comes up and he's asked a question that he's like, man, I can't remember what I said here. Can you help me here, boss? That's okay. But they need to see that. The same way they need to see Hugh Freeze do that. Barney Farrar do that. If everybody could Skype it on in, just eliminate that.
Would you want to be on one of these hearings panels?
This one, yeah, because
I mean, just in general.
No, I wouldn't want to have to make this decision because I freely tell you that I think everybody's lying.
Yeah, Dayton basketball. Neil McCready, hey, come check out, come be on our panel.
I don't think they'd want me on there because I'm one of these people that freely would go, what? That's nonsensical. And you're lying too. If I were Greg Christopher, it would be so hard for me not to call everybody back into Chambers. I don't know what Chambers
would. I doubt
would,
Greg has Chambers.
I don't know what Chambers would be at the Embassy Suites, but it might be, meet me in the exercise room, damn it. We're about to have a Jason Hayward moment in here.
You've been on a jury?
Yeah, I was on a jury, but you got after the first day, the defendant realized, and plea bargained.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What side wanted you?
I think the defense wanted me.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll be honest, even though I kind of felt like their client was guilty, and I wasn't making a judgment in my mind.
the evidence was...
The first day of evidence, the police involved, it was shaky. It felt wrong, and I was already in my mind going, man, it's kind of hard. It's going to be kind of hard to convict this guy when I'm not sure that I trust what law enforcement completely did.
Really? Is that here?
Yeah.
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 I don't recall.
A couple of years.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. All right. Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage. We've got in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, Chattanooga. 30 years old this year. One of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All underwriting and processing is in Memphis. You can local underwriting. Understand your market. That's a pretty big deal on getting things accomplished. Also, the leader in condo financing. And ask about the float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. You can contact Jason at 662-234-2704. Or JLO, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
Ole Miss football season tickets and single game tickets are on sale now at olemisstix.com or 888-REB-TKTS. Ole Miss soccer opens up their 2017 season Friday when they host Alabama State at 7 p.m. in Oxford. Admission to all games is free. Every fan in attendance can get an Ole Miss clear bag by simply downloading the free Rebel Rewards app. Podcast also brought to you by Michael Oswalt. Michael is a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. It's by far the largest broker of land in our state. Michael's from the Mississippi Delta, lives in Jackson area, comes up here all the time. No one knows the recreational and timberland tract better than him. Go to his site, gotland.com. Just know this going in. The land market's really hot right now. If you're on the fence about selling your land, your hunting club share, your home with acreage, now's the time. Give Michael a call and do it today. He's ready to meet with you. He's ready to explain the process. He's going to try to earn your business. And he says if he can't earn your business in that meeting, it's on him. So give him a shot. You got nothing to lose. 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page. Send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of your profit of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX legacy realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you, harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you're looking for. Send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. And the podcast brought to you by Grenada Nissan, just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. Grenada Nissan has a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy you heard about it. Heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast at rebelgrove.com. You'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Chase?
Did you know that there were there's more sugar in one Starbucks Frappuccino than 10 Krispy Kreme donuts?
I did not know that. I do now.
Wow.
I did not. That's a lot of sugar, considering the fact that a Krispy Kreme donut is basically sugar.
I don't like Frappuccinos.
Are you a big donut person?
I don't eat them because I love them, so
really?
I avoid them. Yes. Donuts, yeah. Like, good donuts. Like, I'm not going to go into Kroger and buy the hard kind of whatever donuts. But, yeah, you give me...
There went our chances of Kroger sponsoring the damn show.
I eat Kroger sushi. I'm very brave.
My girls love Kroger sushi.
Yeah, I ate Kroger sushi a good bit.
I don't know about you, but when I go to Kroger, they say, welcome, valued customer, every time.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Congratulations.
I'm in there a lot.
I did see the little screen up now where you can order your deli meat and go ahead, and like it'll be waiting on you.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's like four steps. You just like hit the thing and
choose it. Oh, I love that. You know what that is? That is something that you can do. And now that's one less person I have to talk to.
You don't have to tell the woman behind the counter or anything.
No.
You love automation.
Love it. Like in a way,
Neil's perfect world is just Neil and robots.
Me and a couple of robots, and Gus.
And Gus. He was too lazy to get off the kitchen floor this morning. Just laying there.
He liked you. He was thumping his tail for you, but he was like, I really don't want to get up.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, Kroger.
The only reason I'm even in here is because Dad brought out the turkey.
Yeah, Kroger hooking you up with automation on the screen now. You can just get it. Move on with your day.
Gus is a fan of Kroger sandwich meat.
Is he?
Oh, he loves it.
Your only problem with Kroger is you got to turn left to get there. Off the highway, right there on University.
The key for me is to go to Kroger at times that are not packed.
Well, if I go when I leave here, I've started just going to Sisk, going over and then down to University, just so I don't have to take that left right there.
Yeah.
Even though it adds 5 minutes, but I feel like I'm
you're moving. Yes.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than sitting there and not being able to turn left.
So, all right, there's your grocery store thing for the day. So Ole Miss, Louisville. My boys, the Cardinals, they are participating in the 2021 Chick-fil-A kickoff game. Ole Miss has been in that game before. They beat Boise State. I don't remember the score. It started out kind of slow, and they routed them later in the day. I think Cinquez had a big day, best I can remember, against the Broncos. Boise State had that running back, now plays for the Dolphins, Jay Ajayi.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good back.
He was a good player.
Yeah. So, it is going to be played either August 28, 2021, September 4, 2021, or September 5, 2021, at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, the new stadium there. A little confusing when the Saints and the Falcons stadiums are both Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah,
it's the Superdome, and then now the stadium in Atlanta.
Have you seen the pictures of that stadium in Atlanta? It's
looks high.
It's nice.
Yeah. CBS or ESPN is going to broadcast the game, and they've already figured out what color jerseys they're wearing. Ole Miss is going to wear the blue. Louisville is going to wear the red for the game in 2021. Probably have time to change that if they felt the need, but that's apparently in the contract. Ole Miss is going to receive $4,250,000 for the game, and they will be provided with 29,550 tickets to sell. Provided the two schools don't meet in a postseason bowl game, the 2021 Chick-fil-A matchup will be the first ever contest between Ole Miss and Louisville in football. Sorry, it's 35-13 was the score of Ole Miss and Boise State that day in Atlanta. Louisville lost to Auburn 31-24 in 2015. So there's your update. You know, I love my Cardinals, so Ole Miss and Louisville here in a few years.
You'll love that game.
I'll be pumped up. Can't wait. I put it on the message board last night. I finally got rid of the Louisville grill cover at my house. Finally. Took a little while. Got rid of it. It was a big day.
I bet.
I was excited.
I bet you were.
I was. Oh, who's coaching Ole Miss in 2021?
Maybe it's Bobby Petrino.
Ooh, former team.
Who's coaching Ole Miss in 2021?
Is the coach that gets hired in a couple months the one that's going to be coaching in 21?
It'll be his fourth year.
It's just on the edge in case you did a caretaker or did something that didn't work, isn't it? I mean, I'm going to say yes because I do think we're starting to trend back the other direction where coaches are going to get a little more time. I think we've gotten so insane about quick pulls.
Are we predicting a 1 or 2 year bowl ban here?
Well, a 2 year bowl ban, you're going to say it's a new guy because you think there's a caretaker and then you figure out somebody else. So let's go 1 year to make it more interesting.
Whew. Who's the coach in 4 years at Ole Miss? Well, I mean, the two names that immediately pop into my head are Frank Wilson, Neil Brown.
Mike Norvell,
for sure.
Jeff Brohm.
It's interesting. Western Kentucky.
Bjork connection. He's at Purdue. He'd leave.
So he took the Purdue job. Yeah, he'd come, I would think.
Didn't he take the Purdue job?
I think that's right, now that you say that.
Okay.
Purdue is sort of the tree in the forest. If the tree falls in the forest and no one sees the tree fall, did it really fall?
they just completely and utterly suck, and they're going to every year.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not even kind of the spunky team that, you know, like Indiana. Indiana can do some nice things from time to time.
Yeah.
Nobody cares because it's a basketball school. Like, Purdue's not, I mean, they're good at basketball. They're not even really a basketball school. They just kind of suck.
Yeah. You ever been to Purdue?
I've never graced the entrance of West Lafayette, Indiana. I'm sorry.
Interesting. Interesting place.
Define interesting.
It's very industrial.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. The school, a lot of big buildings. It's big. It's a big school. The football stadium's kind of intimate. I had to cover two games there. Basketball.
Oh. I was trying to make football work and couldn't.
Purdue played Auburn in the NIT, beat Auburn, and I'm like, checkmate, out of here.
No Boilermakers.
And I got the call, yeah. Like, yeah.
Boiler up.
Let me tell you, let y'all in on a little secret.
NIT games?
NIT games, the beat writers. Now, it's with the exception of the absolute homers. The beat writers sitting up there are cheering for the team they don't cover. Okay? I mean, it's bad. Like, aggressively almost bad.
How bad were you needing Melo to put Auburn out in the NCAA tournament that day?
You don't know. You don't know.
You were legitimately nervous.
Yeah. I mean, for quick background, I mean, I'll be really quick.
I think we've told this, but
Caroline was born on a Thursday of the SEC tournament. Mm-hmm. Auburn was a bubble team. Auburn wins on Thursday, loses on Friday. Or wins on Friday, loses on Saturday.
In Atlanta.
Yeah. Or New Orleans. In New Orleans, the SEC tournament. Gets in. So Sunday they get their bid. They get sent to Tampa. And they play.
Child's a week old. And you're having to. Yeah.
Sunday was the, let's see, she was born on Thursday. We brought her home on Saturday. Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Selection Sunday is that Sunday.
You're leaving.
I have to leave on Wednesday. To go to Tampa. Media day's Thursday. They play Friday morning.
They get in as like a 10 seed. Or
Sunday. They're in as a 10.
Okay.
They're a 10. They play St. Joe's. St. Joe's is a 7. It had
Is that with Jameer Nelson?
Jameer Nelson and Dante West.
Dante West. Yeah,
and
there we go.
Matt Carroll. Who could shoot the hell out of it.
That team was a 7?
Yeah. Phil Martell was the coach. It was the year before they were a 2.
Okay, gotcha.
And so I watched them. I'd watched them play some, and I'm like, hey, it's all good.
St. Joe's going to take care of this thing.
I'm going to go down there late Wednesday.
You're telling the wife, hey, look,
I'm driving.
They're going to lose.
I'm driving. I'm going to drive. They played the early game Friday, like 11 a.m.
I'll be out of that bitch by 4.
They're going to lose. I'm going to write till 2:30, 3 o'clock, and I'm going to drive back. I'll be back. It'll be late, but I'll be back.
All good.
Don't sweat it. Going to be okay. Marquise Daniels had different plans. Marquise was good, and I knew Marquise was good.
But he was really good this day.
But he was on. He was on. Played a phenomenal game. And carried his teammates with him.
What year is this?
This is 2003.
So the last time they made the tournament.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I can't remember the score. It was close.
I'm looking it up.
But Auburn won. And so they advanced to the second round.
How's that phone call? Or are we watching? Do we know it before she had it on?
It was not good. It was my fault that Auburn won. And so I have to stay because they're playing Wake Forest, who was the 2 seed, on Sunday afternoon. And I stayed because I had to stay, and I watched Wake play, I think, East Tennessee State.
That is correct. In a nail-biter, by the way.
And East Tennessee State damn near won the game.
Auburn beat St. Joe 65-63,
yeah.
And then Wake Forest beat ETSU 76-73.
Okay. I watched that game. And pardon my language here. The only thing I could think throughout that game was, oh, shit. Auburn can beat this team.
Wake Forest.
Yes. Josh Howard was on that team.
Okay.
He was the National Player of the Year. But he didn't have the skill set that had beaten Auburn all year. And so, because Auburn was really, that Auburn team was really susceptible to really athletic teams. But if you were just a good basketball team, they could pop you.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched that. Of course, the conversation the next day, Auburn's going to lose, right? Oh, absolutely. Wake's really good. They're a two seed. This Howard kid's phenomenal. It's going to be all right. The game's at like one. No, the game was like at three. I'm still going to get done. I'm going to head home. It's going to be super late. I'll get back, and it's over. Auburn did not lose to Wake Forest.
68-62, Tigers over the Deacs.
Controlled the game most of the way. Late in the game.
So now, not only are we still playing, but
oh, now I have
you've
got to
get on a plane.
I have a problem. I've got to drive back. Now I have to write.
A lot.
A lot. And I have to drive back to Mobile from Tampa, and Auburn's in a Thursday-Saturday second weekend.
Oh, yeah, because since you drove, it's not like you can just get on a plane in Tampa and fly to Albany.
No, my car's in Tampa.
Yeah.
So I drive back home on Monday and have to get on a plane Tuesday morning.
Monday night was fun.
To go to Albany. It was awful. Tears. Bad. And so, yeah, I get to Albany on Tuesday. Made the mistake on Wednesday of going to New York with Charles Goldberg. That didn't go over well.
You're enjoying this. You're making a vacation out of this.
Yeah. And it's...
I'm here. What do you want me to do?
It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm in Albany, New York, and my work is done. I've written the Carmelo Anthony story. It's done. They needed a notebook.
You should have written about McNamara then.
They wanted it to be 25 inches, and I wrote 25 inches. I'm done. It's 3 in the afternoon. I call the office. Y'all got what you need? Yep. Got any questions? Nope. Good stuff.
All good.
All good. This is back. This was pre-internet.
When the work was done, the work was done.
Work was done. They needed a 20-inch story and a 25-inch notebook. Somebody else was up there writing a column. So I didn't have any. I was done. And so Charles Goldberg's done. He looks at me and goes, you want to go to New York? The game was until the next night till like 8 o'clock.
You wrote about 1,600 words for people that are trying to put that into perspective.
Yeah, and I'm a fast writer.
Yeah. 35 to 40 words per column inch.
Yeah, I'm banged it out. It's done. And he goes, you want to go to New York? Sure. Hop on the train. Albany sucked. Hopped on the train, went to New York. Got on a – Kevin Skarbinski actually picked us up in New York in a car about 4 o'clock, and we drove back to Syracuse just in time to cover the game.
And it was close.
And it was super close.
And you're having some thoughts in that last 5 minutes of, oh, my God.
Well, I was actually thinking – of all the teams I've ever covered, this one's the one going to the Final Four. And of all the teams that I've ever covered when I really needed them to just lose, they're going to win. And had it not been for Carmelo Anthony, they would have won. And they would absolutely have won.
What was the last 10 seconds of that game? Because it's a one-point game. What happened? Syracuse won 79-78.
If I recall, it was 79-76. Auburn scored. Sent Syracuse to the line. They missed. Yeah. And they had a shot, but it wasn't a good shot.
Okay. As the story goes, Syracuse beats number one seed Oklahoma and then goes on. So
yeah, they played Oklahoma on Saturday and won. And I think
beat the hell out of the Sooners.
I think won the national title.
They beat Oklahoma 63-47.
Auburn would have beaten Oklahoma. Daniels played. I don't remember the box score on that game, but Daniels was terrific.
Story time with Neil. Just curious.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. But anyway, $4 million for Ole Miss in 2021. We'll see. Louisville.
Is Bobby Petrino the coach at Louisville that day?
Nah, he's not there another 5 years, is he? Four years?
I don't know. People don't leave Louisville much. And when they do, it doesn't work out well. Charlie Strong wishes he had that back.
Jurich did a really good job. Does a good job. Except for the whole NCAA basketball situation. But from keeping coaches standpoint. I mean, look, just success of coaches and ability. It's hard to find a better big three than Patino, Petrino, and Dan McDonald. Dan's kind of Mike-ish too. He's pretty straight laced. Wonder how he's doing in those meet and greets and meetings.
Great. No pressure, not on him.
Hey, Rick. Hey, Bobby. You want to go to Porcini for an appetizer? No, thank you.
Yeah.
Rick, I'm good.
I don't think so, Rick.
I'm good.
Yeah.
There's a waitress there. And I'm good. I'm really good.
I'm just going to coach a baseball team. Going to get to Omaha a lot. Going to make my million. It's all good.
$1 million a year. That's what he's getting paid.
All good. No pressure.
There is no pressure.
You think Tom Jurich ever picks up the phone and goes, listen, kind of need you to, you're on the hot seat. Nope. Probably says, hey, how's it going? Good. You? Good. All right. See you soon.
Need anything? Check come. All good. All right.
Everybody all right? How's your mama and them? Good. All right. See ya. I got other stuff to deal with.
Really need you to behave. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're still breathing, right?
Yeah.
All good. Gone to the doctor? Everything's good. Good. See you soon.
If you're curious about some Chick-fil-A games between now and then, this year we got Georgia Tech, Tennessee. Does nothing for me. And you have Alabama, Florida State. That does a little for me. That's not bad. On September the 2nd in 18, you got Auburn and Washington. You care? Auburn, Washington, 2018.
It's interesting. Interesting.
2019, I'm sorry, I'm falling asleep before I read it. Alabama and Duke.
Yeah.
Florida State, West Virginia in 2020.
That does nothing for me.
Georgia, Virginia in 2020.
Does nothing for me.
And then Louisville, Ole Miss. Has a chance.
That has a chance to do
Will
something.
Will Smith is so far away, I don't know.
We'll see.
So anyway.
That would be, if someone could put you in the time machine.
Really need to know what's going on by then.
I'd love to visit that time machine, then I want to come back.
Yeah, if you could just sit me down and let me read some pregame notes.
I'd know. Oh,
just give me pregame notes.
Kind of what told me what happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me figure out what y'all did in 2020.
Yeah. Who's the coach? Let me look at the roster. What does the roster kind of look like?
Yeah. Can I have some recruiting rankings out here next to this roster?
Yeah. Give me some clues.
Give me 10 minutes with the database. I'd appreciate that.
Yeah. I got to pull up the quarterback.
Yeah.
Linebacker.
Who's the running
spot
back?
Spot here and there. Yeah.
That's fine. That also completes Ole Miss's Power 5 necessity for another year. So, coming up for that, obviously Cal this year. Next year, they're going to Houston to play Texas Tech in a game that will be 82-81. In 2019, they're playing Cal back here at home in Oxford. 2020 is Baylor out in Houston. So, some shootout possibilities, Neil, in Houston there in 18 and 20.
Yeah.
Obviously, 21 is Louisville now, also Tulane, Liberty, and Austin Peay that season. Georgia Tech in 22, Georgia Tech in 23, and Wake Forest in 24 and 25. So they're done in that regard all the way to 2025 now.
With some attractive games.
Georgia Tech, Wake Forest.
Yeah.
Trips to Tulane. Play Tulsa in 2022.
In Oxford, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just curious.
Tulsa's a rich town.
Is it really?
Lots of oil money. Lots.
You know, New Mexico State's coming back in 2019.
Awesome.
Be strong.
That'd be a good game.
Strong.
They will be so strong.
Larry Rose won't be there, though.
No.
I'm upset. SEC East running backs and nondescript group of five running backs are my thing. So, anyway, podcast brought to you in part by Master Cuts, Lawn and Landscape. They can hook you up. Get a free quote, 662-607-7773, mastercutslawn.com. Mention the podcast, sign an annual contract. First cut is on them, whether it's turf design, landscape, installation, lighting. They do holiday lighting for holiday season. Skeeter beaters, they allow you to do mosquito sprays. About $60 per application, last 3 to 5 weeks, anywhere in North Mississippi. So, again, 662-607-7773, mastercutslawn.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer is an American Standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their site, comerheatingandair.com. Or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. You get $20 off. Contact Eric, 662-934-3846, or Shane at 662-832-8747. 4-9. The podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South, owned and operated by Kyle and Jordan Thornton. 7 South, equipped with the largest staff in the Grove that can service most any of your tailgating needs. They've got SEC-only packages, full-season packages, complete rental packages, setup, game day concierge, post-game trash removal, equipment breakdown, and year-round storage, and more. They'll set you up in the Grove, the Circle, or on the outskirts of campus. They sell out most every game, so visit their site today. The season's getting closer. You want to make sure you secure your spot. If you give 7 South a try for one season, you'll never tailgate without them again. The site is 7southtailgating.com. You can reach them by cell, 662-321-1682. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website at msbnkr.com or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. You should know Superlawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state. Gambrell & Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or Oxford, 662-281-8800.
Podcast also brought to you by Tyson Drugs, the parent company of Right Way Meds. You give them a call at 662-252-2321 or TysonDrugs.com. And you go to TysonDrugs.com, fill out the form for Sildenafil. That is their alternative to that little blue pill where you can break it up in as little as 15 milligrams, the 60 milligram tablet. It is the 15-minute quickie. Just gets it started working fast. The length of effectiveness is the same as the other guys and a whole lot cheaper, $10 instead of $50 or $60. So give them a call or go online. They'll call your pharmacist or they'll call your doctor. They'll get it hooked up or even ship it to you if you are not local or you can drop by to pick it up. So, again, 662-252-2321. We had a guy on the board yesterday that filled us in on what happens if you break part of it up versus taking the entire tablet. It appears that taking the entire tablet does increase.
Yes.
A lot of words came to mind, none that I want to use. So, yeah, it increases.
I'm all ears, Chase.
Yeah, the viability is better when you take the entire tablet. So, anyway. Did you see where the high school baseball player is suing the coach for $150,000 because they benched him?
Yes, saw that.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. It's really good. Thanks, guys.
Come on.
Former baseball player at Los Altos, California High, has filed a lawsuit against his coach claiming the repeated benching during his senior season was the equivalent of being bullied. As reported by the San Gabriel Valley Tribune, 17-year-old Lobby Lopez filed a lawsuit seeking a minimum of $150,000 from the now former baseball coach on the grounds that his repeated benching constituted a pattern of bullying and harassment. Jesus.
Yeah, couldn't say it better.
The world has gone nuts.
Yeah, too many lawyers.
We've never gone nuts over issues that, in a historical relevance, have less importance. You know what I mean? I mean, we're not yet at war.
Yeah.
But we're losing our minds.
Here we are. Been a bad week.
We're losing our minds, and we're also...
For just people.
Social media has become such a problem because we react so much to the 3% minority. It's given that collection of people in every aspect of voice to where suddenly we don't look at the 72% of the world that's fairly reasonable. We look at the 3% that's losing its mind and reacting to that. That's bothersome to me.
Yes. Yeah, we don't.
Everything's a hot button.
There's a story here in town that just over the, I was telling you about it this morning. A family had their dog stolen. Another family bought the stolen dog, not knowing it was stolen. Spent 400 hard-earned dollars to buy the dog. And then saw the flyers. And did the right thing. Returned the dog to its rightful owner. There's good people. There's lots of good people.
Yeah.
But we don't talk about the good stuff. It's not just media. It's everybody.
What?
I so badly kind of want to talk about the biggest story in our country right now, but I'm scared to go there. Do you think Donald Trump's the president January 1st? To leave all opinion of what's happened out, do you think Donald Trump is president of the United States of America January
1st? How can I give that answer taking all opinion of what's happened out? Isn't that the relevance of
the
question?
Do you think the public pressure alone?
No.
You don't think he's president?
No, I still think he's president.
Okay. I think he resigns.
Really?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff, until I see it, I just can't make my mind go there that it actually happens. Dude's not walking out.
Well, I'm gonna tell you that if not, someone's gonna have to help. He is going to have to become a more unifying force. I'll tell you where I'm conflicted. Okay. My 401k is just rolling.
Oh, Wall Street's been happy. They're not upset.
Then I watch.
I mean, that's what happens when you have deregulation and all that stuff.
Okay. And I watch his, I watch his press conference yesterday, and I go, man.
Oh, even his administration.
Can you
is
imagine?
So volatile to push left farther and right farther because you've got the economy people that go, hey, dude, rolling. Bank account, 401k, stock market, you know, went over whatever 1,000 recently. Boom, boom, boom.
And
boom,
a lot
boom.
Of the stuff he does with like deregulation and stuff, I'm like, yeah,
there you go. And then suddenly, and on the other side, social nightmare that just pushes those dudes over even farther. I mean, there's nothing even unifying about the process and the policy.
It's like the guy at Under Armour, with the labor unions yesterday. Hey, I just can't be associated with this anymore. I just can't, you know, they're like, I can't, from a business standpoint, I can't stay here anymore. I mean, he stood up there yesterday and criticized George Washington and Thomas Jefferson off the cuff in a press conference. George Washington. He lives in a city where George Washington's, where the tomb for George Washington, the original, where was going to be the tomb for George Washington, in the precise center of the United States Capitol, marks the precise center of Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And you're criticizing George Washington. George Washington owned slaves.
It's potentially the most irritating part of this conversation as a whole. Is and look, this is so complex and way too nuanced and complex for a podcast or a 10-hour conversation.
Right.
So by me saying it, I'm opening it up for so much interpretation that I'm not going
to. It's
okay.
They'll blame me anyway. Don't worry about it. Go ahead.
Judging other eras and generations' morals on our morals and generations,
right.
It's an insult to history. And I'm not saying, oh, well, owning slaves was great. That's not my point.
I understand.
I'm saying that the point of what was acceptable at different times, not right,
right.
Acceptable.
Right. It's a very good differentiation.
Is completely different in so many different ways. I mean, depending on who the United States as the Union celebrates for all their policies and procedures and things they did, they were just born in Georgia. They do something completely different. I mean,
right.
there's so many things to where, because we can't, we have no ability to understand their shoes or to be completely empathetic because we don't even have an idea of any of those peoples. That goes for minorities during the Civil Rights March. That goes for Civil War. That goes for Revolutionary War. That goes for Reconstruction. That goes for any period before our own. We try to go, well, today that is wrong, so those people are this, and this person is this, and these huge, broad-stroke totalities that make no sense.
And I think a lot of this is a reflection of what happens in America's classrooms.
No deep context.
We don't teach history anymore. And I know some people do. But history is now taught with a now filter. Well, that doesn't work. There's no historical context.
Yeah, here was the situation.
This is what life was like.
Here's what
then.
This dude grew up with. Here's what he did. Here's why.
Right. It's not excusing anything, but it's saying you have to put some things in context.
We extinguish and try to smother intelligent thought.
Yes. Now,
detailed thought.
Now, let me say this. Those people that gathered in Charlottesville waving swastikas.
Yeah, it's not a, it's not
there's no place.
Yeah.
There's no place. And the act of terrorism that occurred in Charlottesville on, was it Saturday?
Terrorism.
Terrorism. That's the word I used. That was racist. It was neo-Nazi. It was beyond criminal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not what we're saying. That's not the conversation.
And the president of the United States, no matter who he or she is the president of everyone. And for him to try to equate yesterday was an abomination on the office.
It's what we've talked about so many times. I mean, George Bush, after 9/11, unified the country because he spoke and they saw him, and he did so well in those hours and days.
Yes.
The exact opposite with Trump. And look, we've just...
What you saw with Barack Obama after the Senator Giffords was...
Yeah.
Was shot in Tucson, and the little girl was killed.
We've discussed this on a micro level. This goes for any conflict or any difficult situation within a group, whether it be a country, a school, or anything. I mean, we've talked about it on this podcast, whereas after the NOAs come out with Ole Miss, Ross Bjork had tweeted some different things. He should have come out with a video. He should have come out with something where they see his face and hear him talk.
Yeah.
That was a criticism I had. I still have it. It is what it is. Where I thought they should have been putting Ross as the leader of that athletic department in front of people, and it gives a calming influence.
Like he did recently, where he's really rallied some people.
He's a great speaker. Yeah. So let him do that and let him do those things. And that goes the same thing from a country level. Trump had that opportunity and just completely blew it.
By the way, people blew up Ross about his Feinbaum interview.
Yeah.
I watched it yesterday for the first time. I thought he did pretty well.
For something he had to do.
Yeah, Paul kept trying to pin him down because that's Paul's job. It's good radio. Paul's job is to produce good radio. He did. Ross handled it pretty well. It was uncomfortable because the situation's uncomfortable. They clearly have an agreement with Hugh Freeze. They're trying to live up to their end of the agreement.
Yeah.
But no, your point about all that stuff is right. I don't know that after yesterday he can walk the dog back.
Or want to.
Yeah. I can't remember who said it, whether it was Michael Beschloss or someone. The presidency has a way of revealing character. You don't grow into the presidency. The presidency exposes you, whether in a good way or a bad way. Like, I think the presidency exposed George W. Bush and Barack Obama both as being big-hearted people.
Who is it exposed negatively?
Probably Nixon.
Nixon stands out.
Yeah. It exposed Clinton's flaws.
Yeah.
Clinton was just such a phenomenal politician.
Yeah.
And he presided over an economic boom where people said, I really don't care. I want my money. And in some ways, Trump could benefit from the same thing, but he gets in his own way so badly.
Yeah, hard to compare the two as politicians.
Yeah. So badly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the modern presidency probably starts with Reagan, right?
It's fair.
I guess if you do the...
Carter's kind of a bridge.
If you do the television era, it starts with Kennedy. So it's Kennedy on. So we're taught Kennedy was the 35th president. We're at the 45th now, 46th. So there are only 11 people we're talking about here.
Yeah. All right, so we're close to finish. I'm not going to make it my fault, so I'm going to sit back and take the leash off now. Where would you like to go?
I want to go to the ruling yesterday in, was it Hinds County?
I believe that's correct.
Booster 14 is going to be named in the next 6 days.
Yeah, the state sided with Steve and the other guy, I can't think of his name, that the booster does not have a right to privacy and Ole Miss must release the notice of allegations with no booster redactions within 7 days.
There was a explanation that was provided. I'm searching for it. There it is. Looking for my text conversations from Chase Parham. Now that the story is going to come out where we're going to attempt, we being the booster, is going to attempt to explain away his contact with Leo Lewis. It appears that they have chosen their media outlet to disseminate this information. It's the Ole Miss Spirit, specifically Yancey Porter. This is premium content, but it's been out there for a while now. Let's face it, it's everywhere.
It made the rounds last night for essentially my comment, my confirmation, or whatever is how I got it.
He writes, again, Ole Miss has said that Barney, referring to Barney Farrar, set up communication with John Doe with Leo. Actually, John Doe met Leo in the IPF, the Manning Center, at a function, and Leo wanted some legal advice with one of his kids. John Doe was also Barney's lawyer and agent. They are very close on and off the field. That's why you just can't read their response and come up with conclusions. Did John Doe have communication with Leo? No question. That's why Ole Miss gave themselves a one-year bowl ban. Did Ole Miss agree that Barney and John Doe lied about that contract? That contact, yes. But did John Doe pay Leo $13,000 to $15,000 the day before signing day? No. Look, there's a lot to unpack here. And I think it's certainly possible that the last line of that is correct. John Doe didn't pay Leo $13,000 to $15,000 in one big lump sum the day before signing day. That Leo's story as it pertains to that is not right and can be proven wrong logistically. That said, and I'm going to be careful here because I like feeding my family too. If you believe that Leo Lewis reached out to a high-powered attorney in Ridgeland to get some legal help with one of his kids. Leo was 17 at the time. That he reached out to a high-powered attorney in Ridgeland. You have lost your mind. It's over. Is it Whitfield? Is that where you go? Where you just completely head that way? Maybe Yancey can meet you there and check you in. Give me a break. I hope that Ole Miss's defense is stronger than that, because that's laughable. That's a joke, man. Come on. I do understand now how the Iraqi foreign intelligence stayed in business as long as they did. I get it.
Thought you were going to go with Pravda, actually, but
yeah, get them too.
You had a good morning?
Yeah.
Good. Had your coffee? Took the dog out?
Yeah. Okay. You believe that story?
Well, I mean, I don't, because I know too much about it.
Right.
I mean, it's not even a situation of, you know, a fan who's trying to decipher between material. And then that was the frustration last night is 1, 2, 3, 4. 6 people sent it to me. That was going through my head.
Yeah.
6 people sent it to me and goes, hey, now tell me about it. And I just, I get frustrated with that part of always confirmation, not confirmation. What is it? Because it's that deal where I really don't like acknowledging, but fans force me to acknowledge.
They force me to. So if you want to know what I think about it, I think it's total bullshit.
Yeah, that's my frustration with it, is being forced to acknowledge.
It's laughable bull. Absolutely a joke. A complete joke. That's why we get angry at the whole, hey, they said this. Can you confirm it? It's not fair. Okay. No, I can confirm that's bull. You know the part that's wild to me? Is I think he knows it's bull. Prince it anyway. Maybe he doesn't. Can't prove that. Just an opinion. I would hope Ole Miss has a better case than that. I'm going to tell you, you throw that in front of Greg Christopher. I think in fairness to Ole Miss, there's no chance in hell that's their defense. Their defense is going to be, we didn't know.
We admitted the contact.
Institutionally, we didn't know. I think this is where Ole Miss can thread a needle here. Hugh Freeze tells us he didn't know. We have no proof that Hugh Freeze knew. Now, if you all would like to eliminate us from the conversation and say that he should have known, hey.
No sweat off my back.
Whatever you got to do. You want to hit him a failure to monitor? I mean, that's regretful, but okay. But institutionally, as soon as we knew, we turned that text over to you. We gave you the information the second we knew. Now, we're freely telling you that we think Barney Farrar acted as a rogue. And we're telling you that we believe Hugh Freeze didn't know. If you want to split that hair, that's up to you. I don't think they're going to say, listen, I mean, this attorney, he was just trying to help provide legal assistance for a young man from Brookhaven who just happened to be an elite athlete at a position of need at Ole Miss. That was a coincidence. He was just, they were talking about legal stuff. They hit it off, man. I mean, they both like Sonic. They both like fantasy football. They struck up a friendship. You know how it is. 46-year-old guys randomly strike up friendships with high school kids 2 hours away all the time. That happens everywhere. He just happened to be a football player. Just coincidence. And the text about, hey, we had an arrangement, that they were talking about a legal arrangement. I read on a message board that you're going somewhere else. He meant to a different law firm. You believe this, right, Greg? Come on, man.
I don't think it has any impact on a game or whatever, but Kyle's looking for an athletic director, so we close. Saw that pop up this morning. What?
Nothing.
You tweeted a lot about the Cubs last night.
I did. I was trying to push them through.
Didn't work.
Oh.
Sorry.
First and second. Nobody out in the ninth. Down two. Bunt them over. Do you bunt there? First and second. So Hayward, Schwarber leads off with a single to right. Hayward follows, punches a ball into left, opposite field. First and second, nobody out. Baez up against Iglesias, who's got a nasty slider, and right-handers don't hit him at all. Left-handers feast off Iglesias.
It's understood you can and it not be egregious.
Yeah. He bunted, moved him over. Zobrist followed with the single. Hayward got a bad jump. Zobrist hit it really hard right at the right fielder who actually fielded it on his heels.
Mm-hmm.
Schwarber scored, but Hayward stopped at third. And then he struck out John Jay, struck out Alex Avila to preserve the game for the Reds. I wasn't crazy about the bunt there. I got it. I understood it. I'm not crazy about it. If I was only down one run, I bunt.
Okay.
I don't like giving an out up. And I know the risk is he hits into a double play. I just don't like giving an out away. And a guy like Baez, if that pitcher, you know how it is with a pitcher, young guy, throws hard, he squeezes that slider just a little. It's a little amped. You know what I mean? You've seen it at every level. And cement mixers that thing. It's out on Waveland. Cubs win. That's why I don't like taking the bat out of his hands.
I tweeted about that this morning. Pretty cool NFL concept. Bill Barnwell's done this a few years now in a row. He builds the perfect 53-man roster under the salary cap. The constraints here are he has to have at least one player, but no more than three from each of the 32 NFL teams. Last year's playoff teams had an average of 5 players from the 14 draft, 6 from the 15 draft, and 9 from the 16 draft. So will this team as well. We'll have 7 rookies, 1 from each round of the draft. Special teams, they will not just put a bunch of big play dudes. They'll actually get players that fill special teams roles. And the way they did their offense was it has to fit Josh McDaniel's system in New England, and the defense has to fit Jim Schwartz's unit most recently in Philadelphia. So that's the way they did this.
Okay.
Just the Ole Miss significance. Larry McTunzel makes the roster for Bill Barnwell and his team.
Good for you, Mr. Reese.
You're going to keep coming back to that, aren't you?
Hard to get away from it.
Yeah, he's on the offensive line that is pretty good. Put a pretty good team together here.
Giants went 10-6 last year?
Close. I don't know. I think 9-7, 10-6, yeah.
Yeah. OPC fall registration is open. If you want to learn karate or take up fencing, you want to get your children involved in gymnastics or tennis, need some tips on catching that trophy bass, the Oxford Park Commission offers all these exciting instructional classes and more. Registration for the fall going on through August 31st. They offer golf lessons for adults and youth, as well as a number of tennis and gymnastics classes that are suited for all ages. Outdoor programs such as canoeing and hiking are also available. Pick out the class or activity that suits you best by visiting OPC online now, www.oxfordparkcommission.com. Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. Currently, Ben Brown and his team are looking to hire part-time and full-time sales team members across Texas and the Southeast to join their team. They offer extensive training, support, and the best products and pricing in the industry. Whether you're looking to supplement your current income or find a better career opportunity, email Ben at benbrown@journeybizsolutions.com. They're looking for motivated individuals with some sales experience, a business degree, or those who are close to completing their business degree who have a passion to serve small business owners. They have an exceptional, uncapped commission structure and are an equal opportunity employer. Again, the email, benbrown@journeybizsolutions.com.
Have more on tomorrow's show. Again, check rebelgrove.com. A lot of recruiting up. Nuggets already going, even though Russell's moving to town today. So that and more, a lot of football from yesterday. Again, a lot of Leo Lewis threads on the board where Neil's put some different things out. So check those things at Rebel Grove. And, again, remember, August 31st at the Westin, 6:30 to 8. Come hang out with us as we will – there'll be free food, also have availability to some specialty cocktails and different things. So check those things out on August 31st and come back tomorrow. We'll talk to you then.